Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, the podcast for serious lacrosse players and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their lacrosse careers. And now, here are your hosts, New England Lacrosse Journal's Kyle Devitt and Jack Piatelli.
Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. Alongside me, the wonderful, the generous, the incredible Jack Piatelli. And we are joined also by BU assistant and founder of the Back It Up podcast, Mike Salippo. How's it going, man?
You were only that nice to Jack because I'm here, is what I'm assuming. And it's associate head coach. Can you, you know?
Oh,
I worked hard for that title.
Oh, he's all about titles. He's all about titles.
I'm doing this for you. Wow. And co-founder, please.
I mean, co-founder. Yeah. Wow. It only took 2 minutes for this podcast to go off the rails, and I can't wait to finish the rest of it.
Well, I wanted to mention our great producer, Saf. And when he walked in, Coach Salippo made sure he let him know that he was a Division I coach. That was very important. He wanted the entire studio staff to know that he was a Division I
coach. Well, it's important for all my D3 friends to understand the difference between us. You know, that's it. You know, Casey DeNolfo, he's going to get me after this one. But, assuming he listens. I mean, who wouldn't?
He does. He's actually been a guest on the show. And when he doesn't listen, I text him and ask him why he scored 15 goals on Colby in the first quarter. As you said, great place to start. You're a D3 guy.
Yeah.
Ithaca, you're a bomber.
Yep.
Fun career there. You know, you had a lot of cause turnovers.
Yeah.
I like that.
I was an old school D-middy, to be honest. That's where I started. It was more fun than playing offense. Offense is stressful, you know, and Coach Long, what a human being he is, what a lacrosse coach he is. And after my first year, I got to taste a little bit of offense. And then my junior, senior year, I started both ways and kind of played lacrosse like I played basketball. Just get out when you're tired. I was lucky for him to give me the freedom to do that and had a blast with that man. What a legend he is, for sure. I can't thank him enough for who I am today, that's for sure.
So how did you kind of parlay that into, you know, getting into coaching and then joining the BU staff?
I got lucky to get into college coaching. I initially was applying for Trinity Pauling to be a math teacher and a lacrosse football coach to follow my dad's footsteps, who's the real Coach Salippo, as people like to say. He's the all-time winningest coach in New England private school history, football, old-school Italian guy. We're going to be throwing around the vowels all day here, Jack. So
love it. Yeah. I love it.
And then didn't get that job and was lucky to get a job with Coach McCormack at Williams College to coach both football and lacrosse to start my career, which was, you know, from there, it's all she wrote. Can't give it up.
And you were a football, basketball, lacrosse player in high school.
In high school,
three-sport athlete.
Three-sport athletes, three-sport captain.
Impressive. Sorry I missed that.
Thank you. I was a decent leader. And
apparently so.
And I'll tell you I was. I'll tell you what. Yeah, it was great. I loved playing it.
No confidence in yourself.
No, zero. No, none in myself or my teammates. I was just negative all the time.
You actually have more confidence than Kyle does in himself. And Kyle was the king worst of confidence.
It's got to get you somewhere, you know?
You know what? Talking about vowels, you got more vowels in your name, but my name is bigger on the advertisement inside the magazine. So why don't we just, we're gonna pump some brakes. We're going to reel it back in. All right? Let's tell it. Once again, Mike, just keep telling us how great you are. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I learned a lot at Williams. Got lucky to go back to my alma mater. And coaching football was essential to the development of me as a lacrosse coach. I coached the running backs. I was the film coordinator. And in football, they do things different. I think some of it, they just do it to do it, but they do things different. And then was lucky enough to have 3 years with Coach Long. We won 2 conference championships, ran into Tufts. My last year, we were number one in the culture, in the country, and we learned what culture really was. Coach Daly taught me the greatest lesson I've ever had as a coach, and culture's king, and been here for 6 years now at BU under Coach Poli, who's done an incredible job with his staff and allowing us to do our job and recruit hard, and he sells a great program and manages a great group, and we've been lucky to have a great start. You know, a lot of work's gone into it for sure.
Just explain a little bit about your football coaching experience and what.
Sure. Yeah.
What you learned, you know, and make you a better lacrosse coach.
Yeah. I mean, the football aspect of it, the tape is so important. You know, I'm a son of a football coach, so my father, you know, you win on Saturday, Monday to Friday. you know. And Coach Long used to always say, you know, game day is your day, practice is my day. And I didn't understand that until I became a coach, you know. And football really emphasized that, because the way you break out your weeks, whether it's, you know, Monday is no pads, and then you go Skelly, one day's pass day, one day's run day, red zone, et cetera, et cetera. So the way you prepare the kids for Saturday is all up to us, you know. And we talk about that, you know, especially in the offensive room. It's my job to get you ready for Saturday. And if I can make Monday to Friday harder than Saturday, you know, while preparing you, then game day should be pretty easy. That was a big long man. You know, he used to beat the heck out of us on Mondays and Tuesdays. It didn't matter if we were playing Cortland or RIT or any of the good programs we'd play. He made practice a lot harder than game day, that's for sure.
So you've kind of gone through many of the changes in Division I lacrosse offense, most specifically sure. The shot clock.
Yep.
How has your approach to coaching offense and even man up, which I know you love man up, how did that change in the last 6 years?
For me specifically, when I got to BU, Coach P, I think it was a Drew Kelleher thing or maybe Coach Domingos, and they loved the sub offense. I hated it. I liked melting everything together. And so the shot clock allowed me to really push that out, which was great. And that was a big part of, you know, being able to have our transition package melt into our 6-on-6, because you have a finite time now to, you know, try and score a goal. I mean, for defenses to defend. So I came from Coach Long, who wanted to play fast and instilled speed in us regardless of the shot clock. It allowed me to really emphasize that culturally, schematically, philosophically, because you can run out of time. You know, that thing's on the wall there. So that's been fun. That's been a lot of fun.
Were you ever part of the kind of early culture of the shot clock where it wasn't really a clock, it was like a possession shot? Are you a possession shot guy?
I was never a possession shot guy. We use the term sun, which is a shot off net, you know, but that's more for the D-middies and the LSMs. Like, if you're in trouble, let it fly so that we can back it up. But no, I wasn't a big possession shot guy. I like to play, you know, LSU football, you know, like we can run it and we can throw, Big Ten football guy, you know, punt, field position, run, punt, field position. And I felt like our league was that in many ways, being such a defensive heavy league before the shot clock. Lehigh, Army, Navy, Loyola were so great defensively. Colgate, Lafayette, everybody really. That, you know, taking your time on offense was something a lot of programs would do because of how strong they were defensively. And I would always push Coach P to be like, no, I got to let my guys play. You know, whenever I put the strangle on them in terms of time, we struggle. And that's something that I've needed to get better as a coach, that's for sure, because you have to manage games.
Right. And you kind of coach, you know, I think people maybe don't know this now because it's been like, I don't know, 6 years, but you coach Chris Gray.
Sure.
Who was kind of the first, I would say one of the, maybe not the first, one of the first offensive stars at BU as an individual talent in the short program history. He's since gone on to North Carolina, but you've kind of parlayed that into bringing players in that I think kind of play a little bit like him. I'm super impressed, especially this year with Vince Dalto, like his ability to carry and get away from checks and kind of create space is, to me, like one of the more surprising things. I remember watching the Merrimack game in particular. He won you guys that game by holding the ball and not getting, he got swarmed by guys and he still kind of held onto it, dodged out of it, and didn't just dodge to get his shot or score, but dodged to with purpose to move the ball.
Sure. Yeah. He's a tough kid. Another Val, you know, and it's D'Alto. You know, a lot of people say that Dalto or it's D'Alto. You know, there's an apostrophe there. People need to, you know, emphasize, you know, but it's okay. No.
If you're not Italian, I'm Irish. You don't understand those things, you know.
That's okay.
Kyle wishes he was Italian.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, Chris, I'll start with Chris. Generational talent. Coach Kelleher, Coach Poli did a great job recruiting him. And it was my fault. I couldn't hold on to him. You know, that's what me and him joke. And with Coach Metzbauer, who's a good friend of mine, actually through that recruiting process, we've become very close. He's the only coach who called me to recruit him when he went in the transfer portal, which I was very surprised, but I did a great job, landed him, and he's a great talent. We still here and there text to this day. He actually missed an open net against Colgate, and I sent him the video of it, and I was like, what's Metzy doing to you here? How are you missing this open net from like 10 yards? And he sends me back dying laughing, like, I knew you were going to send me this, you know, when you were scouting these guys. So great talent, great kid, great team. Great. And then, yeah, what we've kind of recruited since being the recruiting coordinator is just pieces to a puzzle. You know, everybody is responsible for a goal, whether that's clearing through the right way, dodging hard to get the first slide, or Vinny carries a double to the sideline because he can take abuse and be super fundamental, and then he's able to move the ball from there. So we have a concept that's six hands. You know, when one guy scores, all six guys are responsible for it, because there's been a couple goals these last couple weeks just based on spacing. We're really hard to cover. And then skills are solutions, as Coach Monroe would say. And so we work on skills, we work on spacing, and just being tough and being unselfish. It's been fun.
You guys are super creative as well. Like, whether it's getting the finish off with a behind the back, like, they don't do it necessarily to be flashy, but you can tell that there's technique put into it. There's practice. Like, do you guys practice things like that?
I allow them to, for sure. I'm not a big believer in telling a guy they can't do something, especially, you know, I think a lot of guys at any level, at the coaching level, like, low to high is a big one. People are like, I don't shoot low to high. And it's like, well, if you catch it low, you should keep it low, you know, and changing the plane is something that Coach Long was always big on us, and whether that was low to high or high to low, and that's something you were always allowed to do. And I think there's an efficiency factor to it. We play against really good goalies at our level, and the longer you take to get rid of the ball, the more time they have to read shooters and read body language and read releases. And so if guys catch it low, I love when they go low to high. You know, I will get on them if they catch it high and drop their hands. They better stick it. But at the end of the day, you know, missing shots doesn't kill you because you get it back and they got to defend you again. But we're certainly creative. You know, I want our guys to play within themselves. This is the creator's game. Longman was always about that. And there are times and place where angles are better if you go behind the back or you go, you know, cross-handed and Canadian, different things that, you know, other people are really talented at.
That's part of the evolution of the game that I really like. The shot clock, I think, has put more pressure on the players to be more fundamentally sound when they shoot the ball.
Sure.
Because, and now you've got so many good goalies playing at all levels.
Yep.
One, two, and three.
Yep.
And to your point, if you catch the ball high, you got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
High.
Yep.
And you gotta, you know, look at the net, find a spot, but you gotta be able to catch it and get rid of it right away.
Sure.
And you see the better goal scorers in college lacrosse are the ones that catch it low, shoot it low, catch it high, quick release.
Yep.
Because the sidearm shot, unless you're a man up, or
right.
Very rarely do you see a player at the college level till today shoot it sidearm from outside and score, or down low, behind the back, right time, right place, works.
Yep.
But that's what I love about the shot clock and the evolution of the game, because the goalies have gotten better. Shot clock puts more pressure on the shooters to be more fundamentally sound.
Well, I think, too, the one you brought up, sidearm, that's the one release I hate, because the goalie can see that quicker. You know, when you shoot three-quarters or overhand or even low to high, you can use your body, regardless of how big you are, to hide the stick a little bit. And the other thing we've been kind of working on, you know, is deception in terms of our release with our body language, right? So you're catching it high, but you're getting small and you're shooting it high, right? You know, you're using your body language, you know, you're staying big and then you're shooting it low. I'm using your eyes to look high and shooting it low. That's something that I think the PLL guys, which is been really fun to watch, they do a lot of that stuff. And I think, you know, James Burr was really good at it, who we had in that graduated 2019, who just knew how to score goals, and he would keep his body language really big and then he'd shoot it three quarters low. You know, that sidearm release, you're really, the goalie can just see it a lot sooner, you know, and it's hard to be deceptive in that nature because of how you can't, the release point is just pretty similar.
He shot with like no wind up too.
Oh, he was just violent. And that's the one thing we talk about a lot too. Violent releases are big. You know, it's our opportunity to be violent when we shoot the ball, not ground balls, not riding. When we shoot, we want to be quick, we want to be violent, and we want to, you know, put that ball through the net. So we teach a crow hop, right? Just like baseball players, you know, you want you can crow hop into that front foot. You literally skip into that front foot. You drive all your momentum, all your energy through that front foot, and then you release your hips. You release your arms, being as far away from your body as possible, and then your back leg should finish in front of your front leg. So your whole body should literally, from start to finish, face one way, and then I release, and I'm facing the other way when I release. So I'm using my entire body in that quick and violent release.
So it's more about your body being violent and attacking the goal.
Yep.
Using every part of your body.
Yep.
And it's not about shooting it 100 miles an hour.
Right.
It's your mechanics, using your body
yep.
to get the power, and then getting a quick release off.
Sure. And D'Alto, like, you watch him, you'll notice this now when he shoots. He, like, has this, like, I thought his first year he was going to hurt himself. He's got this, like, neck twitch when he shoots. And it, like, he uses every single piece of his body when he shoots the ball. It's violent, to say the least. You'll notice it now when you see him shoot. Time and room.
That philosophy also is not only the ball coming out, but you're going to be more accurate.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you're going to practice being violent, then when you do it in games, it's going to you've practiced that release, you've practiced that violence. The, you know, the stress and the emotion of games is what you know, gets guys to change how they play or change how they release. So we try and make practice as stressful and as emotional as we can to try and get it as close to what a game is like so that when they're in a game, they do it. You know, that's why we practice flipping hips righty and flipping hips lefty a lot later, like the Canadians and the natives who play with just one hand. And they are great with their hips and their footwork so that when they catch it, they're fundamentally able to get downhill or able to get to their teammate with only using one hand. So we do that with both hands, even though the righties are just going to do it with the righty in game day and the lefties are just going to do it with the lefty. But having that motion in that footwork during practice is just important to them, so then instinctually in the games they're just going to do what they instinctually want to do. But we've at least practiced it, we've at least trained for it, so that's something big for us.
Sell me on a man up that isn't the Duke four-man rotation.
I am a big I'm a big citation guy. This is from Longman: good coaches steal from better coaches. He was a big Aussie 3-3 guy. He claimed it was an Aussie 3-3 from his his USA coaching days. Two tight pipes when they don't leave the pipe. So it's not a traditional 3-3 where they, you know, leak off to like that low line, low wing, low GLE. They stay on the pipe and they hug it. And then we have a 7 to 10 yard crease. Our top center starts outside the box. Our wings start at about 15 to 18 yards. And then we slowly compress as we kind of play guys. That is, for the last 5 years, I've ran the man up at BU. And that is, we start there and then we can either move in and out of it. We can move into it. But to me, I think that's the hardest thing to cover spatially. You have to tell us what you're going to do. You know, you're either going to play 3-on-4 up top and take both pipes. You're either going to play a 4-man and rotate hard, or you're going to play the W or the M, which a lot of man-down teams will do, where you're going to split and share everybody. And so we see what they're going to give us, and then we take it, you know, yeah. And we try and get the best version of what you're giving us through the 30-second or minute penalty. Yeah. But I've gotten big into shallow cuts this year. You know, we ran a two-man shallow cut against Colgate, where we would overload the righties and we would just pass down a shallow cut with two lefties. We ran a full 6-man continuous this year. This is all stuff you can see. I'm on Huddle, and all of our opponents are definitely watching. I got something new for Bucknell, which I'm excited about, that we've been working on for the last, you know, couple weeks, but, you know, actually since preseason. But it's very simple. I'm a big believer that less is more. And that is what allows your guys to be creative and just read and react. Read your man, not the ball. You know, that's a Coach Donahue-ism that I stole years ago.
I got a 3-man touch the corner. Always touch the corner.
Yeah, it's a little something. Coach Fed is really good, so I don't know if this is going to come out before him. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a shallow cut action with our righties, which I'm excited about. And we overload you a little bit with the lefties, the way they've come over. I'm also very lucky that the way we've recruited the last couple of years, I'm 3-3 now. So I have 3 righties and 3 lefties, so we can really move and change and shallow cut and intercut. And sure, our range depth changes based on who shallow cuts and who's where, but you still have to cover us. And we defenses have rules, and so it's our job to manipulate those rules and take what they give us. So that's what we look to do.
Explain to our listeners intercut, shallow cut.
Yeah, so shallow cut is, so if you're on the lefty pipe and you have the ball and there's a lefty wing, and that lefty pipe carries to replace the lefty wing, the lefty wing is going to just shallow cut underneath him. And he doesn't necessarily, at least in my opinion, need to get behind his defender. He just wants to get underneath the carrier and replace that pipe as soon as he can. And so defenses are either going to carry the ball, right, or they're going to pass the ball. And regardless of what you do, and this is, you know, the football in me is what, to me, is what man up is in lacrosse. Football, it's like here are the rules, here's what they're showing, how do we manipulate it? And you can make really small tweaks, and it's something completely different, right? Whether you're pulling the guard, or now you're doing down kick with the tackle, right, and power and counter, different nuances that you can do throughout the week that a team prepares for. And now I just give you a slight tweak, and it's pretty much the same play, but somebody else carried, or this guy shallow cutted. And so that's what a shallow cut is, just kind of replacing each other. And some guys teach to cut in and then replace to get there, but we hold our crease in most of our stuff because that's the most dangerous man outside of the back pipe. So you have to cover those two pieces if you hold them. And if you don't get into a space in which one guy can cover two during that carry, then you're really, really hard to cover. And so that's why I just want them to replace each other as quick as possible, because now you get back to the same side pipe and the ball's on the wing. You better cover that pipe or we're thrown down. And then you have to come across and then we throw across, right? So there's we try and play chess as often as we can. You know, we don't want to play checkers. You know, we want to play chess and realize that defense, the enemy has a hand in the outcome as well. And if we can manipulate the enemy, we can get the outcome that we want.
New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal will return after this message.
The Men's Lacrosse Championships, where speed and power meets precision and creativity. And they give it everything they got, from face-off to the final whistle. Go big for every goal. Go beyond your limits and enter the NCAA universe. the Men's Lacrosse Championships, May 28th through 30th at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, Connecticut. Get your seats today at ncaa.com/mlacrosse.
Are you serious about playing your sport in college? Do you need a flexible education that allows you to maintain your practice and competition schedules while also preparing you to succeed at the next level? You should check out the University of Nebraska High School. UNHS is accredited and offers more than 100 online courses, including NCAA-approved courses to protect your academic eligibility. Students could earn a UNHS diploma or take a single course for transfer credit. Courses are college prep, self-paced, and available 24/7, 365. Enroll anytime and take up to a year to complete a course. Visit highschool.nebraska.edu today.
Looking to keep up with all the latest news and information on New England lacrosse? New England Lacrosse Journal and LaxJournal.com are the premier resources for information and inspiration on the New England lacrosse scene. Have every issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, the magazine, delivered to your home or office. And don't forget to stay in the game every day with a digital subscription to LaxJournal.com to receive daily digital lacrosse coverage on club lacrosse, college commits, prep and high school, Division I, II, and III colleges, showcases, rankings, and much more. Get in the game and behind the scenes now by logging on to LaxJournal.com. Just click on the subscribe button and start the subscription that is right for you today. New England Lacrosse Journal is a Siemens Media publication. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.
I know you're a big film guy, and for me, I feel like there's two kinds of film guys. There's guys that go in to watch before they've seen the film, have an idea, and then do it. I call them like kind of like positive creator guys.
Sure.
And then there's what I think that you are, which is the destroyer. You see what they have, and you want to pick it apart.
Yeah, it's a mix of both. You know, we're less is more. We try and put in everything. We were very lucky now that we're not starting freshmen anymore, thankfully. We have some freshmen in some roles, but we're not starting them, you know, like Chris Gray and McLean and Tommy Nook and, you know, Patrick Morrison, Carson, all these guys who are now juniors and seniors for us. So we were able to input our offense and all of our schemes throughout the fall. I had everything in. So then we were able to just try and get better at our stuff in preseason. And then as we go through, it's like, yeah, okay. Nick Turn, one of the best players in our league, one of the best players in the country. Army went after UMass and the Big Little because that kid's pretty good. Let's see how they play the game. So when we were going into UMass, that was something I saw that they, you know, struggled with. And again, Nick Turn is awesome. Coach Ward has done a really good job with those guys. Coach Fosner and UMass's defense is I think really, really good. And so that was something that we wanted to pick on and see if they could cover us, you know, and get them to switch their rules. Either they were going to switch or they were playing whack where they would like support the pole and then get back. And then they started switching it and then they started hugging it. And so if you can get after them and make them change the rules in games, then you know you're doing a pretty good job. And that was kind of our outcome for UMass and what we attacked with them. Yeah, I'm totally. It's always going to come back to what we are, like in our language. So whenever I break down a game, you know, similar to football, you always take your opponent's offense, right, when you're looking at your opponent's defense, and you put whatever they're doing in our language. That's what I do. So everything they do, whether it's a big little behind or an invert behind, it goes into our language. Whether they're playing a 1-3-2, it goes into our language, how they're covering, you know, what I call our 4, what I call our 5. And then so I can tell our guys throughout the week, this is how I think they're going to play us, because this is Robert Morris running their version of what we do, but it's in our language. And then so that's how I pick at it and tell our guys, this is where I think their weaknesses are going to be. But again, we only know what we know. You know, right. We only know what we see on film. And at the end of the day, we have to react to our opponent because they have the hand in the outcome and they get to watch all 4 of our games too. Coach Fed is awesome. And so he's going to try and do what he wants to do to us to affect us throughout the game. And regardless of what they do to us, we need to be able to react. So I'm a big Bruce, you know, be like water. You know, I don't know if you've seen that 30 for 30 documentary. I think they did a pretty decent job. Be water, my friend. And the way the martial arts that he created was all counters. It wasn't based on attacking. It was based on allowing your opponent to attack, and then I respond to their attack. But I always like to think the defense has the advantage in the sense that they know what we're doing, sure, but we can simplify it to a pick game, right? When we set a hard pick and they switch, okay, how do you manipulate that switch? You want to slip. You want to show like you're setting a hard screen, then you slip, force them to communicate through that, right? That's where it becomes chess and checkers. It's like we have a counter to whatever they're going to do. And so we need to practice and train based on what defenses can do to us, whether it's adjacent, crease, coma to crease, you know, adjacent to crease. And so regardless of what an opponent's going to do for us, do against us in that 60 minutes, or what they're going to change, and, you know, they got halftime, they got good coaches in our league, they all have the iPads, they can see it. Like you know what we're doing. Like, everybody, I've been doing the same thing for 6 years. We've gotten better at it because we've got better players. We've developed more culturally. Coach Poley's done a great job with our culture. And so now it's a place where we can just play really fast, play free, and react to what teams are doing to us. You know, and Coach Lattimore gives us an awesome look every day. God, they're good.
Yeah, and I think one of the things to follow up on that is BU kind of got on the map very early in their life as a program by pulling upsets. You know, like, you go into games, and I think that's clearly a huge part of it, right, is the game planning that goes into it. I was at almost all of them, sure, to the point where your SID, Kevin Edelson, best in the game, would email me, "Hey, we're playing Loyola. Can you come?" He's like, "Every time you come, it's a great game, and we win." And I'm like, okay. But I remember the first win over Loyola, what you guys did against Pat Spencer and limiting him, and then the win over Army, which is probably one of the best games I think I've ever seen, with, I always forget his name, the diving pulse in the, out of the 10-man that just saved the entire game. What, it was incredible.
What year was that?
I think 2018? It was 18.
Yeah, it was probably Chase Levesque, I think. Yeah, Chase Levesque, or might have been Colin Loghead, actually, who's at UNC, another guy.
But it was wild. And I think, you know, I always wondered how you built a program that fast and how you built your game plan so quickly, because I think that's one of the things, like, even when I watch games now, you guys do things differently because you have more, I can tell you have more pieces because you're more comfortable putting certain guys out. Like, when I watched BU earlier in your life cycle, it was, okay, we have to have this guy out because we don't have anyone else to put out. And now you have, like, a ton of choices, and that's really the difference in Division One, right? And
sure,
the thing that makes you better, especially in the Patriot League, where everyone has kind of similar academics, except for, the obviously, the service academies. Is that something that you've experienced? And the rise of the program, obviously, you're 4-0 as we record this, but I think you guys play different now.
Coach Paul, it starts with Coach P. You know, he's done a great job creating this program from the beginning, and we've been lucky enough to have, you know, a mentor, a head coach who allows us to do our thing. You know, he empowers us to fail. He doesn't, you know, choke me or Coach Lattimore into doing things that he wants to do. He empowers us to do it. He empowers us to recruit. He supports us, and you know, that's really cool to have from a boss and a guy who's committed, you know, his entire, you know, last 9 years of his life into this program. So it starts with him. We've certainly, you know, had some of those early upsets. That 2017 year when we were 12-5, we had a great group, and that was probably the deepest group we've had until now. Just in terms of being able to play, you know, I think that year we were playing 23 to 25 guys a game. We're doing something similar now. You know, it helps when you have 17 seniors contributing like we did that year with that first program. But we were still starting freshmen then. You know, John McClain was a freshman starter on the first midline. You know, we had, I think that's actually it for freshmen who played. And then this year we have two freshmen in role spots. So it's really nice that they can kind of learn from guys who've been doing it before. You know, losing Chris Gray was big, you know, and that was a generational talent that, you know, he wanted to go play at North Carolina and play in May because we hadn't gotten there yet. But I think the guys who've come in, the guys like you know, Vince Dialto, Louis Perfetto, Timmy Lay, Jake Cates, I mean, those are just four on the offense that have been starting since freshman year. And then you look defensively, you know, Will Carson's been starting since a freshman. You know, Roy Meyer's been playing a ton of minutes, a bunch of D-middies, Matt Garber. So it's been a lot of guys who have been working really hard, have been in those close games as freshmen and sophomores, and now are juniors and seniors and are maturing or matured and are giving us the best opportunity we can week in, week out to win games. And so we can't be complacent. You know, Coach P has done a great job with that, with our guys and our culture. You know, we watch a bunch of culture videos every week and try and stay on it. We can't be complacent. Marcus Luttrell, who is, you know, the lone serve, he's got a great video that, you know, I showed our offense, and we all have an accountability statement to what's going to hold us accountable. And Marcus Luttrell said, "Stay humble and outwork everyone." You know, so that's my accountability statement, and everybody on our team has one. So that within the moment of adversity, or when you're getting complacent, and we had Monday off, and so then yesterday was kind of sloppy and not as good as it could have been. It's like, all right, what's your accountability statement? You know, what is going to keep you going and keep you motivated to do what, you know, we want to do, which is win championships. You know, we believe we can do that, and our guys are working hard towards that.
Tell us a little about the recruits that are coming in the next couple of years.
Sure, I mean, we look at. we look at things we can't coach. You know, since I've been the recruiting coordinator and the league we're in, you got to go against Army and Navy, who have dudes athletically, Loyola, dudes athletically, Lehigh, you know, and so we wanted to recruit athletes, you know, so we had to get athletes. And because it's hard to teach guys to run fast and be big and strong. And, you know, a weight room can only do so much for them. You know, obviously these guys from 18 to 22 are going to develop physically as well, but it's still hard to make guys faster, quicker. And then it's our job to coach skills. It's our job to coach IQ, because we're not going to get traditionally, and with the rule change, the Chris Grays, right? We were able to get Chris Gray because nobody thought he was big enough and fast enough when he was a sophomore. It's like, okay, so we got him. And then, you know, we're not going to traditionally be able to get those guys, you know, until we you know, win the way we think we can. It's going to be a different, you know, harder sell. So we've been able to get some good kids who are talented and who are bought into creating what Boston University can be in the lacrosse community. You know, a lot of these powerhouse programs have a lacrosse tradition. We don't. We're creating ours. And so that's been kind of our biggest thing is, you know, do you want to be a part of building something, creating something within the lacrosse community? And guys have bought into it. We've been very lucky to get some young, great men who have bought into it and are willing to put in the work to hopefully, you know, do something and put Boston University on the map, because our athletic director, Drew Marichello, another Val football guy, wants our lacrosse program to be what the hockey program is, you know, within the hockey community. Two small communities, two, you know, great academic school. You know, he believes that we can have that type of program. And Coach Poley from the beginning has kind of had that pressure on him to create that. And again, us as a staff has been lucky enough to have a mentor and a leader who's inspired us and motivated us and empowered us to create the program that we're all creating together. You know, it's not just his, it's ours. It's really cool.
Tell me a little bit more about the Back It Up project over quarantine.
Sure, yeah. So COVID hit and Corey Winkoff and I like break down a Chris Gray game. And while we were doing it, we were like, man, it would be really cool to have the defensive perspective on it. And then one of our best friends, John O'Dierna, who's the associate head coach at Manhattan, one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, that's a fact. And we got on as a group and we broke down one game. And then Corey, being an Ivy League guy, smarter than all of us, was like, what if we turned this into like a show? And then so we played around with different, you know, formats and podcast ideas and trying to, you know, also give the lacrosse community drills and things to learn. So we ended up doing like 17 or 18 episodes with different college coaches out there and then just us, because sometimes we forget John and I are college coaches, so we can give drills. And so we did that. Lacrosse LSN picked us up. So we were on LSN every Monday night with one of our episodes, which was cool. We've gotten guys like Sean Kerwin and Metzbauer, Jerry Byrne. You know, I'm going to forget a bunch of people. Jordan Stevens, but we've got a lot of great names. Got some pros, Grant Ament, Nardella, you know, a bunch of guys to come on as well. And then when we got back into our jobs, because, you know, COVID kind of slowed down, we got back to school, we ended up creating what we called Back It Up Coaches Summits. So it was an opportunity to, you know, you came on one. I don't know if you've been on one, Jack. You know, it's kind of messed up, but that's okay. It's a way for us to...
This will be the last time you're on this podcast.
That's probably best for everybody.
Because I haven't gotten a word in yet.
Well, you knew what you were signing up for. So you knew this before I got here. Kyle might not
have. I didn't sign you up for this. Kyle did.
Yeah, he didn't know. He was like, who are our guests today?
No doubt.
And then I told him, and he was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, this is the shameless plug. You know, Back It Up. And so we did coaches summits. We've done three. It is for a charge, but we do bring different coaches on to hopefully give you something. When we think the cool part of our model is, you know, Metzbauer can kind of deliver you his offense, and he might be holding something back, and I can be like, wait, but what about this guy, or what about this? And John can give you the defensive perspective when Coach Byrne does. So we try and cover all aspects of the game, and we're going to do one again in probably October when everything settles down, and we advertise the heck out of it with Coach Winkoff, Corey Winkoff, and it's been fun. It's been something fun that three best friends got to do, and we tried to monetize
it. No, it's really great for the lacrosse community, you know, to that's what's great about, you know, social media, you know, Zoom. You know, we've learned a lot throughout this whole pandemic and what we can do and can't do, but sure, we've created a lot of venues, opportunities for young lacrosse players, coaches, to get in front of coaches like yourself and other coaches throughout the country and really get a good understanding of not only what it takes to be a coach, but how to coach the game and how it should be played.
From our perspective, sure, but we're not perfect, that's for sure. But
we all can't be perfect like Kyle.
Well, you said it, but that's the piece. You know, it's been fun, and we're trying to, you know, keep it rolling and stay to it. So we're fine on timing.
We got to do home and home, right? Didn't we agree to home and home? So now you have to bring Jack on.
I think I think we bring you both on. And this will be an opportunity for you to do all the talking. John and I will stay quiet. It's actually extremely hard.
Is that possible?
Not only just me, John's a talker too. I don't know how much time you've got to speak with Coach Odierna, but he can really chop it up too and speak. So, yeah, it might be a battle of.
Yeah. When I got on there, I said some stuff I wasn't supposed to say. So, that's it's good. Maybe that, hopefully, that episode is not aired.
No, I think we cut some of it out. But that's the thing. Like you said, we can get these guys because of our relationships with them and just, you know, knowing them, hopefully, as well as they do, to say more than they were going to say going into it. We've had some guys, a buddy of mine, Pat March, the offensive coordinator at Syracuse, he was like, no, I can't come on because I know you'll get me to say things I don't want to say. And it's like, all right, I got you, Pat. You know, no doubt.
Sometimes people think it's just secrets, right? Everyone wants to be Bill Belichick, and it's like, come on, man. Yeah. Everyone knows that there's like a finite amount of plays of lacrosse. There just is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm sorry. I'm a big... There are no secrets. You know, we run what we run. You can all see it. You don't know how I teach it. You know, that's kind of what I own.
Right.
Anyone can own what's on the Ethernet. You know, anybody can search and look what it is and stuff like that. So it's
all comes down to execution.
Yeah, yeah. It's remember the Titans, Denzel. Right. I got 9 plays. I run it like Novocaine. It's like we just got to run it and do it well.
Well, Coach, you're off to a great. But I'm looking at your schedule. You've got quite a few solid games ahead of you. You got Bucknell coming up, Holy Cross, Harvard, Lafayette, Navy, Yale. It goes on and on. Princeton, Loyola, Lehigh, and you end up at the Army. That's quite a schedule.
Yeah, we're wicked excited about it. You know, Coach P did a great job with our schedule. It's got a really good build, and the Patriot League is tough. You got to strap it on tight every weekend. Anybody can beat you, regardless of record, regardless of being home or away. It's anyone can beat anybody. And then, yeah, adding, you know, Yale and Princeton was great. You know, if we want to play for national championships and we want to play in May, we got to play against teams who've been there, you know, and so that's a great opportunity for us to learn. And that's what playing UMass and Bryant was all about. And, you know, Merrimack, you know, they won national championships. So I told my guys all week, these guys can say something you haven't. They've won 2 national championships. You have not. And so everybody we've played and everybody on our schedule is formidable and can take us down, no doubt. So,
well, unfortunately, we are all out of time. Jack, you don't get to ask any more questions. The podcast is unfortunately over. just wanted to let you know before we close out. Thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piatelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. We'll see you next time. Our show is produced by Steve Safran, a wonderful human being. And thanks to
he's awesome.
Head coach at BU, Mike Slippo, for stopping by the office.
Yeah, please subscribe to Back It Up, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Coach Odierna and Coach Winkoff. The only thing they told me to make sure I said was that. So please subscribe. You'll find us. Back It Up Lacrosse.
Thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, a production of Siemens Media.
You've been listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Also, listen to the podcast on the website, laxjournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at NELaxJournal, Instagram at New England Lacrosse Journal, Lax Journal on Facebook, and our email address, chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. Join us again next time as we go chasing the goal. Chasing the Goal, a Siemens Media podcast.